Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, Key. Morning, Jay.
What up, baby?
Morning there, Max Kellerman and the fake Dolphin fan.
Feels good to be a winner today, Key. Feels good to be in the playoffs.
But that is an admission that you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Tua. Yeah, for sure.
I didn't say Tua. I said Dolphins.
Well, I can't be a fan of individual players, and I can't root for teams.
I will say, if there's a
Key
town
for the Saints, and how's that worked out?
If there's a town to pander to, nothing wrong with pandering to Miami. I mean, that's a good town to for them to like you.
I just don't understand why the anger is about from Keyshawn. You know, it just feels like there's a lot of like he doesn't like Tua, tiny quarterback.
Will you stop. You know, former NFL executive and player Louis Riddick is with us now. Morning, Louis.
Ballhead.
Hey, what's going on with you guys, man? You guys like having a separate conversation over there, Jay, Will, and Key. I mean, what's going on with y'all?
The problem, Lou, is he is a fan, and you know how fans are. The moment that you don't say something that they want you to say, you become a hater, and he's falling into this trap of me being a hater because I question what type of team the Miami Dolphins would have at the beginning of the season after training camp.
Right.
And I wanted to know throughout the course of the season if what they were doing is portable. Can they go to cold weather and win? New England, a la San Francisco, could they go out there and win?
Yeah.
Buffalo, can they? And all of them, they failed, and Jay's mad at me, and they backdoor into the playoffs, and he wants to act like they have the number one seed.
Lou,
that's all.
Whenever a guy has to talk that long, Lou, you know he's full of it, right? You already know.
Yeah, I've been checking y'all out this morning. Y'all having some fun. I like it, though. But although, look, I'm not a fan, but I am, well, let's just say I was someone who had a great deal of confidence in Miami. The things kind of fell off on that 5-game stretch, man. I just don't know what's up with them, especially if Tua's not there.
Yeah, no, if Tua was in the house, I think they would have a higher seed, and they really would have challenged Buffalo for the division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe that. There's no question about it.
Yep.
Speaking of challenges, what the hell's wrong with the Packers, man? How surprised are you about the way their season went this year?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll tell you what. I'm not surprised only because I think having just come back from doing that Raiders and Chiefs game and listening to Patrick Mahomes talk about how this offseason, given all the change he had at the skill position, right, Mecole Hardman was the only guy who was a carryover in 22 from the 21 season, the only one, him and Travis. But all those new wide receivers that he had indoctrinated into that offense, how he got them early in the offseason, early, took them down to Texas, said, this is how we run our offense. This is how we do things. This is how we're going to distribute the football. What I expect from you, this is what you can expect from me. See how fast they came out of the gate flying, right? Juju looked like a guy who was like, had a career resurgence. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling looked like a guy who was like, hey, look, I'm more than a one-trick pony. The way he did it, versus the way Aaron and the Packers did it this offseason, where there was a lot of people defending Aaron, saying, oh, man, you don't need the offseason. He's the greatest player. He's the 2-time MVP. He'll get them on the same page as soon as we get to camp. Don't worry about it. Everyone's making a big deal out of it. BS. They started off too slow. And he had young guys who had never played in the league. And Christian Watson was hurt. So they had to take – it took them 3/4 of the season to get on track. And then they were kind of like ice skating uphill, right? They're climbing out of a hole. And then come yesterday, they play a team that right now, you're going to be hearing from the Detroit Lions. You're going to be hearing from the Detroit Lions going into next year. This is a team where I'm not big on momentum carrying from one year to the next, but with this team and the way they play and the identity with which they play with and the way they're being built, which is inside out, the offensive and defensive lines are going to be hell, man. They're going to be hell for the rest of the league and for the North in particular in the NFC. You are going to hear from this team. And that's why I think what you saw yesterday from Green Bay is something that I think is going to have a trickle-down effect into 23 and how things look in this division overall. So, look, I'm not shocked. to get back to your original question, because of how they handled themselves in the offseason, starting with the quarterback not being around and having all these questions about, you know, whether or not he was going to play or not. And the last thing I'll say is this. After talking to Devontae Adams, and look, Devontae did not say that he didn't, that he changed teams because of Aaron, but for sure, looking at this, looking in this man's face and looking at his eyes, he had said, you know what, but I need more certainty than this. And my home, my team that I rooted for as a kid wants me to come out there. So there was a lot of things centering around number 12 and not in a good way.
Mm. Lou, from a GM perspective, hearing his comments post-game, how do you deal with this kind of lack of clarity about whether he's going to play, whether he's not going to play any time?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as you dealt with last year. How do you deal mm-hmm. with this from a front office perspective?
You know, I've always said, and I said this before he got, you know, before he got his money, I've always said, you know, the great players, the special players, the one-of-one types, like you always want to give them more rope. You always want to give them more runway because they've earned it. They've earned it. So you allow them, you know, certain things that you wouldn't allow other players who maybe play different positions and or don't have the resume that he has. But at some point in time, you know, it's kind of like the stock market. The thing that can unsettle you in the NFL more so than anything is uncertainty, especially uncertainty at that position, because it's just not about your decision, you know, and what you want to do. It has a trickle-down effect on every other thing that you're trying to do from a team-building perspective. Just like uncertainty in the stock market means stuff goes down, you lose money when people don't know what's going on. And see, that's with him, like to have this talk constantly, like as soon as the damn game is over, we're already having discussions about, well, I'm going to get away. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to see how I feel. I got to see how I feel, you know, once I get away and I refresh. I got to see how I feel. It's just like, give me a break with that. Please give me a break. Like, you don't hear that in the offseason from Patrick Mahomes. You don't hear that from Josh Allen. You don't hear that from Joe Burrow. And these are the teams, like those three right there. I picked those three in particular. Everyone talks about, and everyone's going to be talking about in the end when we're talking about Super Bowl champions, and it's not a coincidence. It's just not a coincidence. Players don't like that kind of crap, man. The other 52 guys on the roster are just like, I mean, like every, like really, like this is what we're doing every year now. It may not directly affect whether or not you get an outside jam as a corner and affect your job because you're sitting there going, remember that time Aaron said he wasn't quite sure? It's not like it happens like that. But it is a like a mental drain, just like, can we just get on to something else, or can this guy get on to something else so we don't have to always hear this all the time?
Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Sweet Lou, so what are we going to be hearing if Dallas goes to Tampa next Monday night and drops an L? What are we going to be hearing in the offseason about the Cowboys?
You'll be hearing a lot of Stephen A. That's what you're going to be hearing. You'll be hearing a lot of him just crushing this football. And you know what? On a serious note, what you will hear is about that fine line. And Keyshawn, look, man, you know this better than anyone. You'll hear about the fine line, or rather you should be, the discussion should be centered around that fine line between winning and losing the NFL as it relates to your ability to consistently, mentally lock in and play to, you know, reasonably close to your potential. Right. So yesterday in Washington, what the hell is the reason for coming out and laying an egg like that? Is it because you all of a sudden, you know, as a punter, you can't catch the ball? You can't just handle the punt snap to you? I mean, is it because you can't field the punt, you know, as a punt returner and you want to give the team good field? I mean, that is a mental thing. That's a focus thing. And it's one of those things that you can't always put a finger on consistently from one week to the next as to why that stuff happens. Naturally, people point to the head coach, but coaches don't coach that kind of dumb BS. They're not coaching that. They're stressing the fundamentals. I mean, Mike McCarthy, as much as people bang on him, and I get it, man, because he's the head coach, he's not coaching stupid play like that. He's not coaching Dak hanging balls out there outside the numbers, waiting for Kendall Fuller to return it for a pick six. I mean, when he drops one, he goes, here, I'll give you another shot. Here, take this one back. He's not coaching that kind of stuff. But that's what you're going to hear. Like, what is it with this football team? Why is this football team mentally, why don't they have no resilience? Why can they not summon up their best play at the most important times? Like, we don't care what you do during the regular season. We don't care what you do versus, you know, teams that aren't as good as you, although when they were playing the Houston Texans, they damn near lose that game because, again, they can't lock in all the time. It's not a talent issue with Dallas. It's not a height, weight, speed issue with Dallas. It's not. It's nothing like that. It's a mental resilience issue. And those are the things that are so intense that you can't really put a finger on that drive you nuts. That's why they're constantly in the conversation, because the disparity between what they have from a physical perspective and what they have from a mental perspective in terms of being able to unlock all that potential is so big that that's why I don't know how they're going to play this week. And for three quarters of the season, we've been killing Tampa. Like, this team ain't good enough. But I wouldn't be shocked if they win this game, that being Tampa. Not at all.
Lou, before we let you go, we got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you about the Lovie Smith situation, him being fired.
Oh,
two black coaches,
man.
2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are we going to see a black coach, you know, go to be used to fulfill the Rooney Rule and then get stuck in an absolutely unattainable situation?
Jay, well, I heard you say earlier today, like, you know, what makes you mad is that we're going to say this, we're going to address it, and then we're just going to move on because there's a lot of other good news happening in the NFL. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, that when it comes to the Houston Texans, people just don't even really care. They don't even care the fact that they're running the organization the way they are and the fact that Dave Culley and now Lovie are getting ousted after 1 year. People don't really care because people don't feel as though that organization is relevant any damn way. And so this kind of gets brushed under the rug in a way, at a time and in a way that really is it's disrespectful because we know that it's an issue, but at the same time, we beat this situation, rather this issue up, you know, one side of a wall and down the other. And what it comes down to is this. Owners have the right to do whatever the hell they want, and they can hire and fire whoever they want. And when you're talking about the Texans, you know they're going to do whatever they want. And a lot of times it's going to make us all roll our eyes and go, man, you know what? This place conducts itself in such an incompetent way that it's just draining and fatiguing. But, yeah, I mean, of course I feel bad for Lovie. I'm glad Lovie won that game yesterday. I really am, especially if he knew that this was what was coming. I'm glad he did it. And I'm also glad he did it because, you know what, back during the preseason when we were doing the Seahawks-Bears game and the Bears fans were talking all that BS about the fact that they, as long as the Detroit Lions and Houston Texans are in the league, we know we'll at least be the third worst team. But when I said that they may be the worst team in the NFL, look at you now. I'll see y'all in Kansas City when you're picking first overall. Mm. When you were talking best to me and Dan Orlovsky on TV. Yeah. Anyway, that's
okay.
A whole other issue.
Okay,
I have an axe to grind with them.
You got the receipts, Lou?
Okay, Lou.
Yeah,
you
hey, bro.
The receipts?
Keyshawn, I kept them all, man. I kept them all in a big folder, man. I'm going to pull them all out, too.
Louis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Always great hearing from you, Lou.
All right, Lou.
All right. I'll see you guys.
All right.
So, and by the way, I want to mention one thing real quick. When we talk about Rooney Rule and hiring minority coaches, black coaches, for people who would roll their eyes and be like, oh, you know, I just want to mention something. I'm talking to white people. People who benefit from the status quo, it feels like oh, come on, get off it. That's because you're part of the group that benefits from the status quo. But consider what's actually happening in the NFL nowadays at the coaching position. It's outrageous. And years from now, people will look back and say, how did people allow that to happen? Anyway,
oh, God, Max.
What's that? Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, can we just talk about football?
What's up with the schedule?
Could a Super Bowl coach walk away a year after winning the title? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Belichick's a great coach, of course, but like you wouldn't look at the Patriots and go, really, that's a really well-coached team. My only point this whole time has been the undisputed GOAT part. The undisputed part is now in question.
The quarterback that he has right now isn't the guy for him to move forward. Mac Jones is not the answer for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
If Sean McVay takes a year off, if you're Robert Kraft, are you not realistically looking at that option?
Yeah, I'm talking about undisputed here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, champ, right? Like, so for example, Belichick might be the greatest coach of all time. He might be. He has a claim, but you can't. He can't say it's an undisputed claim. For example, Jay, you like the fight game.
Mm-hmm. What makes you think Crawford, I don't like the fight game?
Because you say it. Terrence Crawford might be the best welterweight in the world, right? He's got a belt, and he might be. He got a hell of a case. Same thing with Errol Spence. Might be. But no one's undisputed. Bill Belichick might be, he has the best argument even for the greatest coach of all time. But man, when you win one playoff game in 9 years without the greatest player ever, and the whole thing was built on the greatest player ever.
Man.
You can't say he's undisputed.
Keep saying one game in 9 years, stop.
One playoff win in 9 years without Tom Brady. These are facts.
Oh God, stop. He was in Cleveland.
And in New England, by the way.
Yeah, but he New England 2 years. Okay,
nope,
relax.
Three.
But
and
so
then
Keith,
one
so
when
three.
Brady got hurt. No
so
playoffs.
I just want to make sure, are we arguing that he's not if one of the greatest to ever do it?
I just literally
no,
said.
No, but Max is just saying that he's not undisputed now.
Right,
no,
I'm literally saying he might even have the best argument, but it's not like you can't.
Max is taking
he's in
back
a class
the
by himself.
Undisputed title yeah. of yeah. Bill Belichick from 4 years ago.
That's right.
When Bill Belichick was the undisputed best coach. They were going to change the name to Bill Belichick Trophy, all that. Yes. Max wants it back now.
Yep.
Because he hasn't been able to advance beyond Tom Brady. That's what he feels.
Yes. Yeah.
The guy sitting next to you.
Yes,
he paraphrased me
perfectly.
I always go back to this argument because in basketball, we look at Phil Jackson as the greatest coach, and you can use the same argument that's applicable.
Yeah, he's not the GOAT. He's not the undisputed GOAT, Phil Jackson. He's one of the guys you talk about. That's what I think about you.
I think he's an undisputed GOAT. I mean,
Phil Jackson's the undisputed over Red Auerbach, like, over everybody.
I wasn't around to see Red Auerbach, man. I don't know about them days.
Okay.
All
right.
Yes,
I didn't watch him coach.
Want to hear Bill Belichick from the press conference?
Sure.
Yeah, I wish he said this is, on, that's what I want him to do.
On whether there'll be changes to the offensive coaching staff.
Oh, no. Jeez. We'll evaluate everything that we've done from me on down to everybody else and evaluate things and make improvements where we feel like we can. Again, there were a lot of positive things over the course of the year in all areas that we can build on, but in the end it wasn't what we want it to be or need it to be, so that'll all be we'll look at everything.
Well, he said a lot there as usual, right? He gave you nothing.
Wait, well, what he's saying is he's gonna look at everything. He gave you something.
Yeah, but he said we're gonna look at everything. Look, if you miss the playoffs again,
I'm gonna evaluate myself.
Right.
I'm gonna make some changes without telling you what the changes are.
Yeah.
I'm also going to evaluate the rest of the staff and my players. I'm going to make some changes there without telling you exactly what
else
you want.
Would he say, though?
That's it.
The question with Bill O'Brien out there, do you bring back, like, Matt Patricia, like, these guys? Like, is your staff going to change?
I don't know that Bill O'Brien – I think Bill O'Brien likes his position and where he's at.
Okay.
At Alabama.
Read between the lines, everybody.
He likes that a little bit more probably than – the NFL grind, so to speak, as a coordinator.
Man, Belichick is coming back. He said he's coming back. There might be some chill. He's going to evaluate everything, of course. I would hate to think, but when I say hate, I mean love to think, that a 10th year ends without Brady, without a playoff win for Belichick. Because if you think I'm insufferable now, Key, oh, you're going to have to take bottle of Advil and Tylenol. You're going to have to bring it all.
Why are you personally rooting against him?
What are you talking about? Why? I'm a Giants fan. He's in New England. I root against everything in New England.
One's in the NFC, the other's in the AFC.
It doesn't matter.
You haven't learned by now, Jay. Max is disgusting.
Yes, I'm a hate-based life form when it comes to rooting for teams.
He's a germ spreader, yes. And all he wants to do is create hostility with Bill Belichick and have Bill fire. Bill gonna fire some stuff off of one of the press conferences at you.
It's about leave him alone.
If I'm lucky enough, yeah. But leave him alone. I'm sorry. I'm saying he might have the best argument to be the GOAT of any coach who ever lived, but I'm downing him somehow for stating the obvious.
You're couching it.
I'm just stating the obvious, man. There are lots of coaches who won with multiple quarterbacks, different places.
You're also rooting for him not to make the playoffs next year. So you can't
delicious.
On one hand be like, oh, yeah, I'm saying you're in the conversation, and you're rooting for him to lose.
Because it would make the argument – because I'm rooting for the interesting outcome. Now, if he wins –
But the thing
– I assumed he would win more than this. I was always arguing it's him more than Brady.
All this sort of stuff is hot garbage, though. Well, because if Belichick would have picked up and went to Kansas City – and replaced Andy Reid 2 years ago, whenever Brady left, and he would have gone to Kansas City and won the Super Bowl, then what?
Oh, but Keith, that's to me that would have been big because I'll tell you why.
I don't want to go into a hypothetical scenario. That's not
no,
there.
But Keith,
I do. Wait, that's significant.
I want to ask you a question
Jay.
About this
Max
actual team.
Max is down on him,
though,
Jay, because Brady left and then won a Super Bowl.
But wait a minute. It's significant because. My whole thing was I always assumed a coach of Belichick's stature and excellence was worth even more than a quarterback, that he was putting he could win, he could do it, right? But what I've learned is, in fact, in this NFL, the quarterback, the best quarterback might be more important even than the coach.
So that leads to my next question and my statement about it is Mac Jones does not look like the guy long-term to me. So if you're Bill Belichick in this upcoming draft, do you trade up to get a top-tier quarterback?
Key?
I don't know that you trade up to go get another young quarterback. I don't think if anything, he's going to look at a veteran that could be available other than a young quarterback, like a Derek Carr or whatever, or somebody like that. I'm sure he can look at a veteran quarterback that could be on the loose.
You know what? When you say, hey, what am I rooting for, Jay? It would also be, I say, well, I'm rooting it to be more interesting. But actually, if the more interesting outcome might be something like that, can he take a veteran quarterback and now with competent quarterback play, make a playoff run? That would be super interesting.
But he got to fix the rest of their roster, too, though. It ain't just the quarterbacks.
He's the GM.
He got some other stuff that they got to certainly address.
Does TCU have a real shot against Georgia tonight?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Kirk Morrison, ESPN college football analyst, ESPN 710. He and I both worked at 710, great station, for years. L.A. Rams analyst, pregame halftime, and postgame analyst for the national championship on ESPN Radio tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. Morning, Kirk. What you expecting tonight?
Morning, Max. What's going on, brother? It's a David Goliath matchup. That's what I'm expecting. Obviously, we expected Georgia to be in this position right before the season started. No one had TCU. So no one even had TCU, like Coach Sonny Dykes said right there in the beginning. No one even had them winning their own conference, let alone being in the national championship game. But I tell you this, being around the team hotel yesterday in downtown Los Angeles, they are confident. You know, especially after taking down Michigan, they feel that they belong now. They feel like they've proven to people that they belong in this national championship game. But it's a big difference when you're going up against the big dog and the SEC champion, Georgia.
Kirk, as you break down this game and you watch film and you start looking at different things,
yeah,
are they overmatched?
I think that they're probably overmatched up front in terms of like the D-line, offensive line. That may be the only thing. But when you talk about skill position guys, Key, I really believe TCU can compete with what Georgia has. Now, look, this is a different Georgia team than compared to what they were last year. Last year it was 15, you know, draft picks, NFL draft picks. So this is a totally different team that we saw go up against Alabama a year ago. But when you look at some guys on TCU, obviously Quentin Johnson is going to be the guy who's kind of the mainstay. He's going to be the guy that I think has to get going for TCU. If he's able to go out, then it's going to help out some of the other players, because anybody outside of Quentin Johnson making plays tonight is going to help out TCU. And this is where I talk about those skill position players can put some stress on those defenders for Georgia, because this is a different Georgia defense than we've seen from a year ago.
Kirk Morrison, ESPN college football analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Kirk, I know Georgia's defense may get all the headlines, but the offense has also been pretty efficient. Take me into that offense and what Stetson Bennett actually brings to the table tonight.
I think we got to put some respect on Stetson Bennett's name. I mean, obviously, he's the Heisman finalist, but he can be in some rarefied air tonight, fellas, being a two-time national champion starting quarterback. You know, we haven't seen that in an extremely long time. And I think that he's been a pilot, okay? He's been guiding the plane. He's not just the bus driver, right, just dropping guys off. No, he's going to be the pilot tonight. And the offense, to me, has been great under his leadership, because – they always have a three-headed monster, two or three guys who are running the football. The return of A.D. Mitchell last week, or in the game previous for them in the Peach Bowl, you can see the offense looks a little bit different, but they got the best tight ends in the country. The offense is a little more well-rounded. Tonight, it's all about how do they go out and employ their offense against that 3-3-5 defense from Joe Gillespie and the TCU Horned Frogs. That is going to be – to me, the big plan for whatever they want to get done. They're going to have to get the tight ends involved for sure tonight.
Kirk Morrison, ESPN college football analyst, also covers ESPN 710 LA Rams analyst. And I want to switch over real quick while I got you to talk about the Rams. Sean McVay reports out there that he may step down, take a breather, take a look at possibly going into television and just relaxing for a couple years before he gets back into coaching. What's your thoughts on that happening, and do you think it's going to happen given the fact that he's a number one broadcast guy and there are a number one seat available right now?
Yeah, Kia, I'm still kind of scratching my head a little bit, because I think you've been around coaches, Jay, Matt, we've all been around coaches, and the one thing about them, they love coaching. That's just who they are. That's their fabric. That's who they're made of, unless you're kind of tired of it after a while, right? I look at Sean Payton, formerly of the New Orleans Saints, still technically with the New Orleans Saints, but he needed a year off. He needed time off. We can go to Dick Vermeil, other coaches around the league. We've had Herm Edwards, our colleague. There's guys who coach, and then they needed time for a little break. In the last 6 years for Sean McVay, he's ascended at his position. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's been a coach of the year. He's won a Super Bowl. But in that time, you know, he's gotten married over the last year. Remember, he lost his grandfather, one of the architects of the San Francisco 49ers of the 80s, right? He's had so much other things that have happened in his life in this past year that, to me, honestly, Key, I think he just needs some time away from football just to relax, take a deep breath, and realize what he's accomplished, but more so get those competitive juices flowing. I mean, this is a year in which I was asked yesterday, how do you describe the Rams season of 2022? And I said, adversity. This is the first time adversity has hit Sean McVay and these Rams. So I think he needs just a little bit of time, take a deep breath, get rejuvenated, and then get back to the post, because coaches like the coach. You just don't leave a coaching job and say, I want to go to TV. It don't. To me, I don't think that that's necessarily the case.
Kirk Morrison, ESPN college football analyst. Kirk, thanks for your time. We talk soon.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Thanks, Kirk.
All right, Cap.
Today's national championship will be the hot ticket Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. So, I don't know. I think if this is a game, it's an upset. That's the upset. This is a competitive game. It's an upset, meaning the national title game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It does not feel like there's a lot of juice about, you know, in terms of it being competitive because Georgia is such the prohibitive favorite. You know, let's sneak in a call. Jason in Connecticut, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Listen, I'm a long-suffering Dolphin fan. And all things considered, the goal of the season was the playoffs, you know, and it's accomplished. Big Tua fan, you know, next year, all the key players, if they're healthy, we're going to make a roll for it next year. My question is this. If Tua suits up, after what Buffalo just went through last week, what is that defensive mindset going to be like with them dealing with Tua?
Jason, I'll be frank. I don't think there's any way Tua could suit up. I don't know why you would want to jeopardize your starting quarterback's health if he suffered multiple concussions.
By the way.
Even if he wanted to come back, I would not allow Tua to come back and play in his playoff.
Particularly
game.
With the health scare that the NFL just went through. And I know it's different because it was an acute shot to the chest, right? But DeMar Hamlin, the whole nation has been through a thing just now, and it had so far a happy ending, like the best you could have asked for so far. And yet, Tua, when he was clearly concussed the first, I mean, he had a neurological event, they put him out 4 days later, right? And it happened again, and it was horrifying at the time. I think enough has happened, you would think, that people would be chastened to the point where you wouldn't take a risk, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Hopefully, that's the case at least. Did your team make the playoffs?
Mine did.
How are you feeling about their chances? Jays did.
Who was your team, Keith?
I did.
Who was your team?
Yeah, who's your team that made the playoffs?
The National Football League.
Oh, God.
Mine did the New York Football Giants. And several of James Jays did, right? Good. How many of your teams have made the playoffs?
Who are my teams?
Whoever you made money on, you tell me all the time.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Jerry in New York.
I think Aaron Rodgers is really a terrible teammate. Reminds me of a guy bad-mouthing another receiver on his team because he felt like he wasn't getting enough passes. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I wasn't getting enough passes. What the hell you mean? They drafted me to give me the passes. They didn't draft me to stand around.
That Wayne Krabet was something else. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Who will raise the trophy? Find out tonight. The College Football National College Football Playoff National Championship presented by AT&T. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN
together,
app.
Man, because all they want to do is try to start trouble.
I love when
we're presented by Progressive Insurance.
I love when it gets personal.
They don't put the rejoin together about a guy catching balls. Well, they didn't draft me to be a damn cardboard cutout.
I mean, how do you know he was talking about you?
Because he was talking. First of all, okay, so here we go. We're going to waste 2 minutes here. He was from New York. Okay, let's start there. Then he talked about a receiver talking about getting the football thrown to him because another receiver was getting it. That's New York trash that makes the people in New York think that that's what was going on and that wasn't what was going on. So, yeah, that's why, Jay. That's how I knew he was talking about me.
Okay. All right, yeah.
So
we covered that.
By the way, I got to say something about
Max. Because Max was one of those guys.
We came in with the national title game stuff. I got to say something about it. On the one hand, there's a little bit flat in terms of the juice because Georgia's prohibitive favorite. On the other hand, when you have these kind of Cinderella stories and major upsets, this is the setup, right? Imagine if we get something special tonight in the national title game. That's where my mind is going right now heading into the night. At any rate, Jay, we have some
breaking
sound that we'd like to play you.
Okay.
From you earlier in this season, I'm just told just now, the producers have given you a classic setup here.
Oh. What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Jay, real quick. I know you're enjoying the Dolphins win, but you're supposed to be a Giant fan, and you're kind of fraudulent, man. By the way, you're a fraud.
Ooh. Well, let's hear it.
I do believe that the Giants are done. And I think all season long, they've been punching above their weight class, right? They've been living above expectations, which has been great. This season has been a success. Playing the Eagles twice, the Commanders twice, the Vikings. I just don't see them making a run at it.
I stand by it. I did not see them making a run. Am I wrong about the season being a success, though?
No, I thought it was a success.
I had low expectations for the Giants.
Yep.
It was a two-man show.
Yep,
man, I've had low expectations for them.
I just work here. I don't know anything.
Well, except on the defensive end, they have studs. That's the thing. It's funny. Huh?
Well, Mark Wheaton, what they were able to do,
They
fraud.
Yeah, you call me a fraud.
By the way,
okay,
you're a fraud.
That really hurts my feelings.
By the way, you're a fraud.
Nuno really had a
rough
feel.
Nuno really can't do it. I felt personal, Nuno.
It does.
It was personal.
Nuno, you're a Giants fan, right?
That is correct.
So you expected the Giants to make the playoffs this year?
Once they started with 7 wins, yes. Expectations changed.
All right, the caveat.
Okay, Nuno.
Well, here's what's crazy now as a Giants fan. Now you want to win that game against the Vikings because that's a winnable game.
But also, for now, I'm not sure. I just want to stay neutral because I want them to win. I don't want
Don't jinx anything.
I'm not saying anything.
In fact, let's not even talk about that because that's already, football gods will get very angry, Jay. Let's just calm down. I always think that you could sacrifice something to the sports gods. In other words, as a Giants fan, hey, would I be willing to sacrifice the Yankees not making the playoffs for the Giants to win the Super Bowl? See what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't sacrifice the Knicks because people are like, yeah, no kid. The sports gods would be like, that's not a sacrifice. They're not going to win anyway. You got to sacrifice something that means something. You know what I mean?
I will say that Nuno and company has spent a lot of time trying to dig to find something that I found wrong. And if that's what they found, that's not a bad thing to be wrong about.
Is that true, Nuno?
They spent a lot of time, Jay?
No, that was about 30 seconds. Just looked up. I was trying.
30 seconds is a long time.
I was trying to find. I was trying to find the Tua thing, right? That you said. I can't believe you said Tua was better than Jalen Hurts. But so I was trying to find that. So we never did. That's what I mean.
You did say that. It's okay, Jay.
Key, stop lying to the people.
No, Jay never said Tua was better than Hurts. He never did. In fact, I remember thinking, look at that. Jay likes Hurts more than Tua.
Max, I didn't ask you. Okay. I didn't ask you.
It's all good as long as I'm supporting his point.
Max, just be anything to say something, man. That's Max.
It's true. Jay sat there and said he would take Hurts over Tua.
Later on, after we realized that Hurts was going to be the MVP.
No,
that's not true.
No.
You're such a liar.
It is. I remember it well.
Key,
I back you up when you're right. I'm backing Jay up. He's right about this.
I'm not asking to be backed up. I know he's lying.
You know what's sick, Key? Max so slick because he agreed with Jay when we had the conversation, but that's for another day, man.
No, actually, I might have.
No, no, no. Know what the conversation was?
And one of the things you said the conversation was? Couldn't throw over the
Tua's accuracy. Tua's accuracy might be slightly better than Jalen Hurts.
That was a little bit better.
That was a conversation. It wasn't about whether he was better.
Matter of fact, I was more on the fence about Tua versus Hurts than Jay was. I was the one who was on the fence about it.
Well, this isn't about Tua. Tua's done a tremendous job when he's been in there for the Dolphins. The Dolphins should be extremely happy that they're going to go to Buffalo
and get like an
smashed on Sunday. Turn around.
Chris in Virginia, you're on with Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
What did you say?
I was calling with the concussion issue with Tua. I wonder why I didn't talk about with Kenny Pickett, who suffered one playing Tampa Bay, and 8 weeks later got another concussion is just because they were less evident.
Mm.
I didn't see the Kenny Pickett one.
Derek, you're on with Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
We just glossed over it. Just keep going. Next caller.
No, I said I didn't see it.
No, I know. It's a valid point, though. I mean, We're saying one, you know, was, I don't know where to go with that.
Derek?
Situation, man. How do y'all feel, how do you guys feel that if they put his name out there? Because, you know, for the defense to be even thinking that, yeah, it's going to be Thompson, but what about if Tua might play? I know you guys, I know, hear me out. I know, I hear you. You know, Tua might not play. He's not going to play, really. But let's just see. We don't know, right?
He shouldn't play. Why should he play?
Yeah, I mean, they got very bold with his health early in the season. It wasn't a good idea. And, you know, that. So I suppose it's possible that they do that again, although I would think it's especially bad idea. Daryl in New York, shoot. Daryl, taking too long. Mark in Ohio, here's the last call of the show, guys. Take it, Mark. You got 30 seconds.
Is this me?
That's you.
Okay, well, this is Marcus from North Carolina. I'm glad I got that right.
Stand up, North Carolina.
I just wanted to you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Have me rolling all day, every day.
Very amazing.
There's a million things I wanted to say, but I'm just going to just stick to what I was going to say. First off, Rams coach wants to take off because his team sucks. Must be nice to just go ahead and leave and then come back and coach whenever you want to. There's sort of a privilege thing going on right there. Second, Keyshawn, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love the fact that you, you know, a couple shows ago, weeks ago, you wanted to give Jimmy G his flowers for doing well. There's a lot of Jimmy G haters out
seconds.
There. I've been a 49er. I've been a Niner fan my whole life, a New York Giant fan for half my life. When it comes to Tua and the Dolphins, oh, my gosh, I've never seen a quarterback play in the cold before. Oh, my gosh.
So Mark from Ohio, that's all the time we have, or from North Carolina, wherever you are. But
in terms of us being amazing, that was a great point.
You
are showing your true colors, Jason.
Jay, we'll see you tomorrow on ESPN Radio. Enjoy the game tonight.
Bully.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.